I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
That American jet crashed on the opposite side of the Persian Gulf behind me in Iran. The news broke on Good Friday, and then this morning here on Easter Sunday, the president announced that the second airman had been rescued, but he is injured. The president writing, "We have rescued this seriously wounded and really brave F-15 crew member officer from deep inside the mountains of Iran. The Iranian military was looking hard in big numbers and getting close. He is a highly respected colonel. This type of raid is seldom attempted because of the danger to man and equipment. It just doesn't happen. The second raid came after the first one, where we rescued the pilot in broad daylight, also unusual, spending 7 hours over Iran. An amazing show of bravery and talent by all."
And what an Easter miracle. Prayers being answered for both crewmen to be found. Now, when the two of them ejected from the F-15, after it had been hit by an Iranian rocket, fired maybe from a shoulder, maybe some other type, still not clear. But when they went up in the ejection seats, wind currents interfered as they were over the mountains. One carried the second man deeper into Iranian territory. The other one closer to where the plane first went down. And he was able to get to a mountaintop, and he was quickly rescued. The other one got carried deeper into Iran and going after that other troop, because we leave no one behind. That puts other men and women at risk who are taking part in that rescue. It was a daring rescue. The IRCG, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, was actively trying to encourage citizens, if you see something, let us know. If you can point to where he is, we'll pay you a $60,000 bounty on his head. Do you have any idea how far $60,000 would go in Iran? Assuming they would be paid. But no one said anything. And they continue to do their best to try to find him, while we continue to do the best. The amazing survival of that young man, we're going to talk about a little bit later in detail, according to a military expert as to what he went through to evade capture. Thanks for joining us, hour number one. Larry Connors, USA. Here we are, April 6, 2026. I do hope you had a blessed Easter. I certainly did, with prayer being answered about that other pilot being rescued. He was a weapons command system operator on the jet. The actual pilot had been rescued earlier. With Larry Connors USA, we're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And I remind you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. Very easy to do so. Go to Newstalk STL, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Or Larry Connors, USA, Rumble, or Facebook. And everything goes up as a podcast later, just in case you cannot stay with us, or you want to go back and review something. Or more importantly, you heard something that you want to make sure you send to your friends, so you can pull it up and share it with them. And let me remind you again, your cell phone is your radio. Even if you go outside the reach of our strong FM signals, you can still pick us up. You simply download the Newstalk STL app onto your phone. Absolutely free. Go to your app store of your choice, download it. And then you can listen to the program that's underway at that moment, which would be, right now, Larry Connors USA. Later in this hour, retired Green Beret Colonel Steve Bucci, currently with the Heritage Foundation, will give us his perspective on rescuing that downed airman and getting him out safely with no more casualties. That was a risk when they went in. They expected they could lose additional trying to rescue someone, but that's what they were going to do. He will get into that in more detail with us. You'll want to hear his explanation. And our story behind the story later today, a news lesson. What does off the record mean, really? This is something I have taught for years to young students, and many of them have a misconstrued idea of what off the record means, and perhaps you do as well. So it's going to be class time, which reminds me, with Larry Connors, USA, you're always going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You're going to leave this hour with more information than you have right now. President Trump speaking on Iran, he's made it very clear to them. He put out a post the other day warning Iran, and he had it laced with some profanities, and I don't really care that he did, but he did on his Truth Social, open the effing strait or face bombing on Tuesday. He's basically saying, if you don't have everything open, fully open, this is the way it's going to happen. Tuesday will be power plant day and bridge day. We've already knocked down one main bridge. He said, we're going to do it again. There'll be nothing like it. Open the effing strait, you crazy bastards. I'll use this term. You crazy bastard. Or you'll be living in hell. Just watch. And he added, praise to Allah. Kind of a fictitious and facetious remark. But he said, you want to praise Allah? Praise for what you're going to have coming your way. He is warning again to rain down hell on Iran unless they open that key waterway. While at the same time, pointing out we terminated many of their leaders. In fact, the head of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps intel unit in Iran, the head of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard intel was killed earlier today in a target Israeli airstrike. Said right now the Revolutionary Guard are shooting at civilians. We are now eliminating leaders of the terrorists. The Iran leaders live with a sense of being targeted. We'll continue to hunt them down one by one. The words of Israel. And President Trump is also on that same page. And he knows in the midst of that, we have the Iranian people that are caught in there. And what they want is peace. But Trump also says they do not want us to stop.
You know what? When you do thousands and thousands of flights and you have one plane shot down, and not mortally, the two pilots got out, they got a little bit lucky. And you know what? In war, you need a little bit of luck also. They got a little bit lucky. That's all they got. Well, it could end very quickly, the war, if they do what they have to do. They have to do certain things. They know that. They've been negotiating, I think, in good faith. We've had total regime change. You know, the people there now are much more reasonable than the lunatics that you had in phase one and phase two. They were lunatics. The people that we're negotiating with now on behalf of Iran are much more reasonable. You can call it what you want, but I call it regime change, and I think most people are giving us credit for that. The first regime was taken out. The second regime was taken out. Now the third group of people that we're dealing with is not as radicalized, and we think they're actually much smarter.
Now, again, the other day he said, we have decimated them 90%, their missiles and everything else. So how was it they were able to shoot down that fighter jet? There's been a lot of speculation. But some of what Iran is wanting to tell you now, they are probably lying. But before we get to that, I want you to hear from Tom Sawyer, a former U.S. Navy commander, and saying what happened when that jet went down and pilots were lost. The war basically went on pause.
The war is essentially paused, and then all efforts, this is at Central Command Headquarters, this is at the Pentagon, the White House, everything becomes laser focused on recovering those airmen. And that one particular, the Wizzo, who was missing for 24 or 48 hours. And the guys doing it is like, yes, the Navy SEALs get an awful lot of attention these days. But one other component of this is the Air Force pararescuemen. And I had the real pleasure of working with those guys exercise for a couple of years while we are attached to a similar special operations unit based out of the Pacific. To give you an idea of these guys, there's fewer than 300 active duty pararescuemen right there. I mean, they're a very, very small organization, and they've got the highest attrition rate anywhere in the military. We're talking 90% attrition. And so, like, not only are they the best combat medics in the world, they're the core of what's called the Guardian Angel weapons system, right? Which is the Air Force's, like, it's a non-aircraft based, human-based weapon system dedicated solely to combat search and rescue. And they integrate with the helicopters, the C-130s, the HC-130s. And then we obviously, as we know, there are A-10s involved on scene to basically destroy anyone and anything that is a threat to our downed airmen or to our PJs. And obviously the CIA, hey, hats off to them. They did an amazing job. And so, like, the war was just paused once those air crew and those guys went down, and everything focused on that. So it's like, it's exactly what they're trained to do. It was their Super Bowl. I'm a little jealous, to be honest, because it sounds so exciting. And just love the opportunity to be able to gas those guys up, because they don't always get as enough credit as they should sometimes. So, and like their big motto they talk about all the time, it's these things we do that others may live. They're absolute heroes.
Absolute heroes. He mentioned the 90% attrition rate. He's talking about 90% of them don't make qualification to be on the team. That's how high the standards are. The CIA apparently was also conducting an additional exercise while we were searching for our airmen. They were creating a fake location, trying to draw IRG troops to that area, away from the fighter. And it succeeded to some extent. And Iran is claiming, well, we got it down. We have a brand new radar system. That's how we brought it down.
Given the downing of the F-15E, it's critical for us to revisit some of the statements, and dare I even say braggadocio, by Washington about air superiority versus air supremacy. But nonetheless, I'm also inclined to take that statement by the Islamic Republic about having an entirely new indigenous air defense system with a grain of salt. It's likely that what struck the U.S. Jet was either a band pad, a shoulder-fired missile with a heat seeker, or an older SAM that the regime had able to still hide in a bunker that was previously disabled rather than destroyed in an Israeli or an American strike. What is very low probability but would be high impact if that Chinese gave Iran an updated or upgraded surface-to-air missile system following the 12-day war, or if the regime had, you know, reverse-engineered another kind of foreign SAM and brought it on to Iranian territory. So I think that claim by the Islamic Republic official deserves further scrutiny. It should be taken with a grain of salt. These guys have every incentive to hyperbolize, particularly during a war for deterrence purposes. But everything that has just happened and transpired in Iran should change the nature of U.S. operations. Low flights in certain areas should probably be revisited.
Yeah, they're probably lying, but they want you to believe we've got something that you haven't destroyed yet. Well, Trump says get ready for more attacks.
We are obliterating that country. And I hate to do it, but we're obliterating it. They just don't want to say uncle. They don't want to cry, as the expression goes, uncle, but they will. And if they don't, they'll have no bridges. They'll have no power plants. They'll have no anything. I won't go further because there are other things that are worse than those two. And we might have, well, the thing, if I had my choice, what would I like to do? Take the oil. Because it's there for the taking. There's not a thing they can do about it. Unfortunately, the American people would like to see us come home. If it were up to me, I'd take the oil. I'd keep the oil. I would make plenty of money. And I'd also take care of the people of Iran much better than they've been taken care of. It's been horrible. They've killed 45,000 people as of a month and a half ago. 45,000 protesters. We don't do that. So if I had my choice, I'd keep the oil. But I also want to make the people of our country happy. I think most people wouldn't understand that. I'll give you an example. Venezuela has worked out so incredibly. We have 100 million barrels of oil right now in Houston being refined. It's been great. The relationship with Venezuela, the leaders, has been fantastic. And I think we're going to have a long-term, very good relationship.
All right, but again, that jet shot down over hostile territory, $60,000 bounty. A military expert describes what probably happened next.
For 36 hours behind enemy lines, in the mountains of Iran, with a $60,000 bounty on his head and the entire might of the IRGC closing in. The ejection happens in fractions of a second. Both the pilot and the WSO ejected successfully after the aircraft was struck. The pilot and weapons systems officer drifted apart after ejecting their parachutes, carrying them to different locations in the rugged terrain of southwestern Iran, near the town of Lali in Khuzestan province. That separation, the moment the wind takes two parachutes in slightly different directions, is what turned a difficult rescue into a 3-6-hour ordeal. One man comes down in an accessible location. US forces find him within hours. The other comes down further, into the terrain, into the mountains, into the dark. 7,000 feet up, cut into rock and wind, a United States Air Force colonel sat alone with a pistol, a radio, and a beacon. He was bleeding. Not catastrophic, but enough to slow him down. Ejection will do that. The spine compresses. Limbs take a hit. You walk it off, or you don't. He moved anyway. Seriously wounded, moving anyway, in the mountains of southwestern Iran. The first thing SEER training tells you after ejection is this. Do not stay at the crash site. The wreckage is a beacon. It marks where you came from. It tells the enemy exactly where to start searching. Heat signatures from burning fuel, smoke visible for miles, debris trail pointing directly to your landing zone. True to his SEER training, he climbed out of the crash basin, away from the wreckage, away from heat signatures and predictable search patterns. He hiked about 5 miles, gained roughly 7,000 feet of altitude, and went to ground in a hide position, a rock crevice. All the while, he was being overwatched by MQ-9 Reaper drones keeping any Iranian pursuers at bay. 5 miles, on foot, seriously injured, gaining 7,000 feet of altitude in hostile mountain terrain while bleeding. While IRGC forces were already mobilizing in the valley below with a $60,000 bounty and state television urging civilians to shoot on sight.
And the will to survive. It truly is an Easter miracle. Prayers were answered to get him safely out. Wounded, but alive, and so's the pilot. For those of you who were involved in prayer, thank you for those prayers. Soon we will hear from him in the near future, and I'm sure he'll be greeted directly by President Trump, as well as the other pilot. Coming up, retired Green Beret Special Forces Steve Bucci from the Heritage Foundation. What took place to bring down the jet and then rescue, and what can we expect going forward? And our story behind the story, what does off the record actually mean? Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Got me waking, bone man, waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water that you won't let Jimmy start, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. We've been spending a lot of time on the Easter miracle and the fact that our second airman was found injured but safe and now in U.S. custody and away from Iran. And joining us now to update that and give us his view on it, retired Colonel Steve Bucci, Special Forces, now with the Heritage Foundation. Steve, what was your reaction when you heard the rescue had been completed?
Oh, well, I was, like everyone else, breathed a huge sigh of relief. I thought immediately, since it was early Easter morning when I read the report, that it was indeed an Easter miracle. And I want to make sure, Larry, that everybody listening understands, because there's a lot of people saying that, oh, you know, President Trump was so worried about this being an embarrassment that he used all sorts of assets to get this done. And that's completely untrue. This is a set system that has been in place for at least as long as I've been in Special Forces, so that was back to 1980, that as soon as an airman of any sort, one of ours, is lost behind enemy lines, ejects from his aircraft, this system kicks on immediately. It's a national level effort from the highest parts and the most sophisticated parts of our intel community to locate and verify that this is our person, and then to energize the various parts of both the intel community's operative portions and the military to go after that person, to get them at some cases, you know, a large cost, particularly in equipment and things like that, as happened here. But we don't care. Despite what a French general said over the weekend, that it's just lunacy to waste these kind of aircraft to get one person.
No.
Well, you know what? I'm glad I'm not French, and I'm really glad I'm an American.
I had not heard that statement. I did note a statement which we aired earlier before you joined us. Former U.S. Navy Commander Tom Sauer said, at that moment, the war paused, in the sense that our main effort was get our guy back.
That's exactly right. It's not just the war pausing. Pretty much anything pauses everywhere in the world, and every asset that is needed or might be needed is suddenly pointing towards this event. and this situation until it's resolved. And you know what? That is just something that's almost uniquely American. I got asked long, you know, when the movie Saving Private Ryan came out,
right?
And people asked me, said, "Oh, Booch, would they have really sent 10 guys back behind enemy lines to find one?" And I had just finished a mission that where we were, our whole focus was to do exactly that. I said, "Yeah, we're willing to send a lot more than 10 guys and a ton of equipment that is very perishable and sophisticated and scarce if it means we're going to get one of our people back. In some cases, even if we know they're already deceased, we'll use the same assets to go in and get them." In this case, it was a great result. We got the aviator back. He was, I think they said he had a concussion from the initial deployment of his ejection seat, but thank God we got him back. The other service members were all safe, and there's a few less bad guys on the battlefield who were attempting to stop that effort, and they obviously failed.
By the early reports, he traveled something like 5 miles and ascending 7,000 feet in the mountainous country, getting on a high top the best he could to get his beacon signal out.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. There are those of us who love kidding the Air Force, particularly pilots, they're running around the ground is not their forte.
Right.
But this guy came through, even though he was injured. That's a pretty tough situation to be in, particularly when you know an entire hostile military and civilians in some cases are looking for you. He kept his nerve. He did exactly what he was trained to do, and that allowed all of the special operators and other assets to come in and do what they're trained to do, and the result was just phenomenal.
And I want to get into some of that in more detail, but before I do, the Navy Lieutenant Commander, former Lieutenant Navy Commander Soward, also talked about a very elite of maybe 300 heroic, I want to call them medical paratroopers. That's not the term he used, but there he said, this is nothing to take away from Green Beret nor SEALs nor Delta. He said, but this is a special elite group, 300 max. They have a 90% attrition rate, guys that cannot qualify. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. Those are the parajumpers, or PJs for short.
Right.
And they are... they're, you know, cousins to the SEALs and the Green Berets. They quite often deploy with either of those two groups and carry, in some cases, they operate alone, in pairs or in four-man teams. They can jump in behind enemy lines. They're highly trained medics, much like our special forces medics, can do surgery, can do all sorts of stuff, but they're fighters too. So they come along with us quite often, and we let them talk to the airplanes because our guys can do that too, but these guys do it for a living. So they are a critical part of the overall special operations capability of America, but specifically in support of the aviators that sometimes get in trouble, these guys are the first ones who deploy to try and get them back.
And I'm
all the kudos to the PJs.
Yeah, and I'm really proud of them and thankful to God for what we got, but the fact is, it could have gone the other way. We could have not gotten him, and we could have lost men going after the pilot.
That is absolutely right. Now I don't know what system the Iranians used to shoot down the F-15E. You know, we'll get that sorted out now that we have both of the aviators back. But that's unfortunate. But even when you have air superiority, the bad guys sometimes get a good punch in and do some damage, as they did here. But the follow-on shows that even if they get a lucky shot in, we can still respond and get our people back. we don't like losing those expensive airplanes, Larry, but right. we're okay with losing them if we can get the humans back, because the humans are worth much more to us.
Well, President,
and it shows that we're not done.
Yeah, and President Trump used your term. He said it was a lucky shot. He said, and it may well have been fired from a shoulder rocket. It might have been something that had not been hit hard enough previous attacks, but Iran is claiming, oh, we have a new radar system now. We'll be able to knock everything down out of the sky. A lie.
Yeah, they're dreaming, Larry. They do a lot of this delusional stuff for their own domestic consumption, trying to convince their civilians that they're still got the power. They can still stand up to anybody. And it's frankly just not true.
Well, let's speak about the civilians, because they were offering a $60,000 bounty. That's a lot of money in Iran. And apparently no one was coming forward, or no one with any good information.
No, well, that's because what you don't hear too much on the American news is that the vast, vast majority of Iranian civilians are not trying to support their present government. In fact, they are cheerleading America to try and finish this. And America and Israel, by the way, they think the Israelis are their ally in trying to get rid of this horrific regime. So the civilians, there were even some reports in the last couple of days of last week of people ambushing IRGC and Bashi militia forces. They're trying to, the beginnings of the effort to take back their country. And I hope we can assist them in doing that, because that's the best solution, is for the Iranian people to rise up and take out this government. That will be a blessing to everybody.
In the last 30 seconds, some on the left already say, oh, see, they could still shoot us down. Trump is failing.
That is such nonsense. Yes, they can still shoot us down. No one has said that nothing bad can happen to our side. War is just not like that. Even if someone is half dying and they get a shot in, sometimes they can take out a good guy. In this case, the government is more than half dying, and it's taken the shot from the corner. We have to watch it, and we will, and I think you'll see America and freedom prevail.
God bless you, Steve. And Colonel Bucci, I appreciate your insight. I know the audience does. And again, praise God for getting everybody back safely.
Amen. Thanks for having me, Larry.
Thank you, Colonel. Thank you. Colonel Steve Bucci, former Green Beret. All right, coming up, our story behind the story. Now, this is something I have taught for years to young journalism students when they're really wanting to learn journalism, not just to look pretty on TV. What does off the record mean?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day, because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
If I could turn the page, in time, then I'd rearrange just to get you. Close my eyes. But I couldn't find a way. So I'll settle for one day to believe in you. Tell me. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies.
Yeah, a little Fleetwood Mac talking about lies, which brings me to journalism. And yeah, there are a lot of lies in journalism now. There's a lot of embellishment. There's a lot of half-truth. There's a lot of full-out false, fake narratives. We know that. Over the decades, I've been blessed to probably teach, if I were just to, off the top of my head, probably more than 200 students. A lot of the teaching was done at Broadcast Center at the time. I know originally when they'd asked me to teach a course, I thought, I don't know about Broadcast Center, because from coming out of Texas, I knew they had Broadcast Center type operations, not linked to the one here. But their attitude basically was, just take the kids' money, tell them you're going to put on TV and radio, and they'll flock in, and they never made an effort to help them. I was convinced that what they were doing here was doing actual placement. And I had agreed to teach a limited radio TV course. And in the beginning, I kind of threw the class open to anyone and everyone who wanted to be in it. Well, I had, you know, I would have, you know, anywhere from 20 students to 25 or more in each class. It became very apparent to me that's not going to work. I need to limit the number. And also, I called the class directly when I told them, if you signed up for this because I'm a TV news anchor, and you think you're going to be on TV, let me make something very clear to you. Odds are you're not going to be on TV, and odds are you're probably going to go into radio if you go into broadcasting. And the fact is, you won't even be in front of a TV camera in this 9-week course until maybe week 6 or 7. In other words, you're going to be spending a lot of time writing and rewriting and rewriting and rewriting, and learning journalistic issues, techniques, interview, things of that nature. Well, immediately about half the class dropped out because they just wanted to come in and be on TV. I was a news anchor. They thought, that's what I want to be. Well, I understand that. But I wanted to make it clear to them that that's not what it was going to be. And I said, after the first, second class, if you decide you don't want to be around any here more, you just leave. And they did. And part of it got down to that they didn't like writing assignments. Every week included writing news stories, 10 to 15 news stories, which I would present. Well, sometimes I'd give them. Other times I'd let them choose. And then tell them, show me what you found in that story and reduce it. Pull it from a newspaper clipping. And a current paper clipping, not some distant paper, make it a St. Louis or regional paper so I could compare the story. And then I want to see what you chose as a highlight and condense it to 30 seconds. Well, I mean, you talk about some of these columns would run, you know, almost a page or at least half a page. And trying to find out how to bring it down to 30 seconds, what they included or didn't include. So a lot of that was teaching writing, and judgment goes with that as to what's important and what's not. I remember, in fact, I was just having a discussion this morning with Mike Ferguson of the Ferguson Morning Show, and we're talking about teaching young people to come into the business. And I said the hardest thing I had to get them to understand, if they are talking about a man with a name that is been killed in some faraway county. No one knows it, maybe even in another state. It's a bizarre case, or maybe he's charged with killing. Generally, the name is not going to mean anything to your audience. You don't need to waste the time, and especially if it's a name you have a hard time producing or pronouncing, you just go with the age and let it go. And it didn't affect the story for your particular audience. Now, if it happened in your town, you might have to include the name. But, of course, that's where I also impressed on them or tried that if it's a guy that's committed a heinous crime going out shooting up a bunch of people, I won't use his name. I'm not going to give him free publicity. The name will have to appear at some point. I know that. But in the beginning, even if the name's available, I'll talk about his background and everything else, but I won't even bother using his name. I refuse to give them any additional public relations content. But then another issue came up, and that is off the record. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? Just you. If I'm interviewing you and you stop me about something that's very sensitive, either to you, your family, or your job, and you say, off the record, what is a reporter supposed to do? And what are you expecting? Generally, off the record, in the view of the person saying it is, you will not use the information. Well, now that's not good enough for a reporter. I don't want to be banned from information that I might already have. And I've been in cases where I would tell the source that, let's make it clear that when you say off the record, it does not mean I cannot use the information. The key point is, well, what is the key point? When you want to be off the record, what is your key point and your key concern? You thinking about it? Well, see, there is more to the story. Behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
You can't hide your life.
disguise. I thought by now you'd realize there ain't no way to hide your lying eyes.
Yep, there go the Eagles with Lying Eyes. And it takes me back to my question for you. If you tell me, Larry, I'll tell you this off the record, what do you want? What are you expecting? And this is where I would caution reporters. Before you get under that blanket of off the record, make things very clear, because generally what the person saying off the record means, they do not want to be identified. They want the information out there. They just don't want to be linked to it. And if you tell them, I will protect you, then that's what you have to do. But if you say it's all off the record, well, then how are you going to be able to use it in any way? And in fact, they may tell you information you already have. So now if you use that part of the story that you already had, they think you broke your connection off the record. I always try to make it clear to reporters, the general consensus is, if they tell you off the record, your response should be, I will make sure your name is not used, your identity. And by that, I mean you can't use their position, their rank, their job position, anything that would point to them as a source. Identification is not just the name. So you must protect that. And then you can take their information and use it. Would have to verify it, obviously. And does it take one source, two sources, three sources? It depends on the original source. I told you previously about when I covered the death of Jack Carney of KMOX Radio, that he had died in a scuba accident at a local pool. I made one phone call to Robert Hyland, the head of CBS Radio here. And he told me, yes, Larry, it's true. Jack died. I didn't make any other calls. I got it. And I told Bob Hyland that I'm going to use it and I'm going to quote you. He said, okay. So I had him as a source, clearly identified. I did not say a high-ranking source or someone close to the scene. I did it with him and with his permission. I didn't need to get another source. But when Colonel Griggs was head of the airport for many years, he and I had a very good relationship. He would tell me a lot of things off the record, and I would remind him. I said, you do not want me to quote you as a source. Is that what you're saying? He said, correct. So I could use the information, but as long as it didn't go back to him. Or sometimes they would do what is called background. I'm going to give it to you on background. Again, it's, quote, off the record to an extent, but they're giving you material and information you need for the story, but again, not attributing a source. This was used a lot during the Nixon administration. Henry Kissinger would call all the reporters together in the White House and say, this is going on deep background. And then they would run their stories and talk about a high-ranking member of the State Department or some sources close to the situation, however they chose to describe him. They never quoted Henry Kissinger, but everyone in the News Corps knew Henry Kissinger was a source. But they did not use his name. So again, I always caution reporters, when you go out and you're doing the story, two things. One, if they say off the record, don't quickly jump in and say, yeah, off the record. You need to make sure that they have an understanding. You mean you don't want your name or your identity linked to it. And generally they say, yeah, that's right. So they're good with you using the information. If they say, no, I don't want you to use it at all. Well, then why give it to me? What good is it going to be? And in fact, I might already have it from another source. So if I use it, you're going to think I lied to you. Am I getting too educational here for you? Well, I've told you with Larry Connors USA, you get news, analysis, opinion, and, yes, education. And every student that I had to go through got that drilled into their head. Plus, how to write an effective 30-second story out of a paper column that might have run a 2.5 columns or maybe a half a page. They had to learn to boil it down, write it effectively. And off the record also gets down to a sense where if it's, say, a kidnapping, and word spreads to several sources, they're all inquiring about it, the police call all the reporters together, off the record, so-and-so was kidnapped, they're being held ransom, but you can't say anything or they will kill the person. Now, no one wants to break that seal and be responsible if the person is killed or anyone trying to rescue them is killed as breaking that information. That's an entirely different course. And I'll spend some time on that in the future in more detail because there are often cases where a news operation has to exercise self-censorship rather than running out and shouting that we've got it and we got it first. First of all, you better be right about it. And secondly, you better do it in a way that you're not going to get someone hurt. Basic news principles, which should be taught, and I assume still are being taught, but not really being followed. Either local, and I'm not dissing local TV or radio, or national, but I know there are too many out there that have never had that drilled into their head. Oh, do I want to teach students again? Well, I do this on a daily basis, so I can't really do that for sure all the time, but I did enjoy it. And I've seen several of them go on and do an excellent job. Our story behind the story tomorrow. Paula Sims, convicted of killing two daughters, one in 86 and one in 89, eventually released from prison. The Paula Sims story behind the story tomorrow. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com wins.
This is News Talk STL.